SuperDoc 1270. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from the Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on SuperDoc 1270. And Dwayne Ferris joining us from BC Canine Services. Dwayne, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and everything else. Hope everybody had a good time.
Yeah, we did. And I hear you're actually going to be coming up fairly close to the Northern Plains and our neck of the woods, doing a little ice fishing in the near future up on Lake of the Woods, which everybody's
Yes,
familiar
sir.
with.
Yeah, very excited. So we're gonna do a little family trip, mainly a guy's trip with my younger sons, and we're gonna fly out of Dallas and head up to the great Minnesota Northern Wildlife up there and do some ice fishing. So we're lo really looking forward to that.
Well, best of luck. And basically why we're having you on is we want to talk a little bit further about some of the work you do with pipeline detection with some of your dogs. Just to back up a little bit and have a little backstory, when you're talking about, because we talk about the technology side of stuff all the time, Jason and I, and there's a lot of innovation out there, but sometimes the easiest way to navigate is maybe going old school. And the best way to do that is dogs when it comes to the safety side of detecting leaks in pipelines. Walk us through what your process is and how you've integrated dogs into pipeline leak detection.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's definitely been a journey going on 6 years now. We've been doing the service providing dogs to go find leak detection. How we started out being a reactivary kind of service, meaning, hey, they have a leak. We have a specialized odorant that the dogs are specifically trained on to detect. We would do that during a hydro test, inject a certain amount to be within a certain level of parts per million. And then we would deploy the dogs, find their micro leaks, and call it good. But what we started to see out there is a need for regular, quote unquote, maintenance, right? Walking these lines, finding these leaks early on before they became catastrophic and affect livelihoods and lives and environment and farmland, et cetera, et cetera. So we eventually started doing that about 4 years ago on a proactive side. And we've seen an uptick in the services we've been able to provide doing that because our dogs were actually picking up leaks that obviously the operators had no idea that they were there. And they were so early on, we pretty much prevented anything really turning bad, which just shows you what the dogs can do. And that's what we've been still focusing on and evolving as things change, getting these dogs' senses down to single digits of parts per million. And the latest one we had about a couple months ago when they did the initial surface reading, came back as 200 parts per billion. So that was shocking to me. Like I said, I'm learning. These dogs are teaching me so much of what they can do. And I still think we're just right there at the surface to push this. So yeah, that's what
So
we've been doing.
let's compare that with a robot. We're all talking about artificial intelligence, and there are things in the oil and gas world, I guess, would be like maybe a smart pig or some kind of sensor that's supposed to be looking for a lot of these different leaks. Now, no matter what we're talking about, it's really hard to be 100%. And I believe that a lot of the smart pigs and a lot of the other things are in the 90s. I've always heard a dog actually is still higher on the scientific accuracy score than a lot of these artificial intelligence or robotics or whatever the, machine is in the marketplace. Where are we at with that these days?
Right. Yeah. So we've done a couple of head-to-heads with the smart pigs. One, not every operator has those. Two, they are super expensive. And three, yes, they're definitely doing their measurements from an inside, right? So they're picking up the data that the smart pigs are doing, send it back to the computer, and then you actually have to have somebody who knows what they're looking for on that training technical side of seeing, corrosion or something, a hiccup inside the pipeline. when they're doing their walking or driving on the pipelines, they can go only as fast as what the machine can pick up. So literally, even the most expensive sniffing machine that we've seen deployed by an operator, that's running them about $80,000. And they actually have to be right above the ground surface, and they can't move. And they have to take air samples every minute. So not only is it time consuming, but very expensive, as opposed when these dogs are out walking the pipelines, you know, we're averaging anywhere 3 to 4.5 miles per hour, and their nose are on the ground and they're able to hit it spot on. So yeah, very fast, very proficient, and let alone, we don't really have to program these dogs to pick up all these different chemicals being transported by the pipelines. We do that in-house real quick, get them proficient, and move on.
We're talking about Dwayne Ferris. And Dwayne, so that was my next question. As far as, you know, there's a constraint on time and distance that a dog can cover for looking for leaks. How does that compare with some of the smart pig technology or some of the other technologies that are out there for leak detection?
As far as the programming for the machines for what they can pick up.
Yeah. So how much pipeline can you cover in a day?
So what we advertise is about 10 miles per day, right? 10 miles per day per dog. The most that we've done is about 13 miles, but what they're getting at the same time, when I'm saying we're walking a pipeline, you know, 10 to 13 miles per dog, is, yeah, we're getting the surface sniff, but we're getting the subsurface sniff as well. And we're doing that, you know, within a day. And it just depends, right? Depends on where we are, what the temperature is outside, breaks, and we got to make sure we take care of the dogs working. So the head-to-head comparison of somebody driving an ATV, you know, with a detector machine on it, sure, they might be able to cover a little bit faster, but they sure are not getting the early detection below surface. They're only going to be able to pick up what is already on surface and go from there.
And if you go too fast with that, you're not going to pick that up as accurately as well. So we're talking with Dwayne Ferris, BK Dog Services, and Jason Spees. Of course, you can catch Jason on the Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here at Super Talk 1270. We'll come back with more with Dwayne. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life, is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
Super Talk 1270, this is Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spees from the Crude Life. Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. We're talking with Dwayne Ferris. Jason, you know, it's pretty fascinating. If you think, because you're a dog lover, I'm a dog lover, and we understand that dogs need a purpose. They have to have a job. Each breed is specific for different jobs. And you have to make sure if you have a breed, it's you have that job that you can give them. Dwayne, what are some of the best breeds when it comes to doing leak detection work?
Well, that's a pretty cool question. The breeds that we work with, mainly your Labradors, your Shepherd mixes, your Belgian Malinois, those are the ones that are kind of what we tend to favor a bit. One is because the endurance and the wanting to get out into nature and push through some of the harshest environments that we've been into. So it doesn't really push them back or phase them too much. So that's what we look for. But even within the specific breeds, we still have to do our selections, right? We still have to evaluate the dog. It could be a Belgian Malinois, but just because it's a Malinois doesn't mean it's going to be a favorable type of dog to do this kind of mission and doing it part. So we actually have to take it a little bit further than just looking at a Labrador or a Malinois or a Dutch Shepherd or German Shepherd or something like that. Yeah.
That's why Steve does the show 5 days a week, because, you know, in the human world, he's a Steve Bakken and I'm Jason Spies in the different categories. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm over in the mm-hmm. peanut gallery. Yeah. So Dwayne, I do have a mm-hmm. question for you about ESG, environmental social mm-hmm. governance. Now, I'm going to tell everybody right now, this is not a political question. This is the new normal of whether it's a DEI or it's an ESG or an XYZ, because what's happening is that a lot of companies are having to document where they're basically spending their money at the end of the day. And what I've been trying to get on my soapbox for years and years and years and tell specifically oil and gas companies is that when you hire a pipeline sniffing dog, you check so many flipping boxes on that ESG score, on that DEI score, on that XYZ score, because one, you're connecting with nature. Number two, you're giving something cool the kids like to see on social media. Number three, you're actually scientifically ahead of the game. To me, it's a lot like when you hire like maybe an archaeologist to go walk the land or something. It really connects. Dogs connect. Talk to me, you know, without getting into the ESG or political side, that public relations in addition to that actual scientific backing, if you follow my question.
Yeah, 100% on it. And I mean, kudos to you, Jason. The first time I heard of ESG, obviously, it was from you and the education and everything that you push online, on the podcast, on radio shows and everything else on it. I really didn't see too much of it, you know, years in the past, but I do. I see it now. I see it as a scorecard, but hitting every checkbox that you can hit, meaning the public relations, the environmental detection. I mean, I couldn't think of any other less or non-invasive means of detection leak, you know, with the dogs. So, and then just having the good feelings for everything else and being historic. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of mind-blowing that more and more operators wouldn't want to jump on that and be part of something that's for the greater good.
You know, one of the other things, Dwayne, we're talking about Dwayne Ferris, BK Canine Services, leak detection specifically. But, you know, Dwayne, one of the other things that besides the dogs carry the same sign as Jason does, will work for food. from an operator's perspective, you think about the relationship that oil and gas industry has with veterans. And so pro-veteran and hiring veterans. And there's so many veterans out there that was the space they worked in, is with canines, with dogs, both for security, bomb sniffing, detection, different facets. That's a big space for veterans transitioning into the private sector. Is there's a lot of opportunity in there to connect companies, which already do a great job connecting veterans to the private workforce in the oil and gas industry. That seems like it's just hand in glove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Getting, you know, another a good check mark there, just having these services available and having veterans that are a huge part of this industry. I have talked to, and we've had some good conversations about specifically looking at helping vets and hire vets to work dogs, look for leaks and get programs going. So, I mean, if there's an operator out there that would be looking to, hey, we've got this funding, let's do something good for it. Man, that would be, I get goosebumps about just thinking about that. That would be awesome to really start looking at some programs specifically for operating companies and have veterans work these dogs. That's pretty cool.
When we come back, more with Duane Ferris, I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch The Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. We're talking with Duane Ferris of BK Canine Services, focusing on leak detection and more with that. And Jason Spies, when we come back for the break, this is Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday on Super Talk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Each and every Sunday morning, you can catch The Crude Life, the week in review, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And this is a Wattage Wednesday. We're talking with Duane Ferris of BK Canine Services, focusing on leak detection.
Hey, Steve, just before we jump right back to Mr. Duane Ferris, do you remember Brian Lash from Target Logistics?
Absolutely. I actually was contracted to do some work for Target Logistics when Brian was owner of that company.
You know, one of the interviews that we did with Brian, and he was smooth as silk, man. And he was so good at connecting different ideas. And what I mean by that is when he was trying to describe how the oil and gas kind of business operates now in terms of the workforce housing was like the military. And he got there through the Olympics and all these different things. And so,
And he had a lot of military contracts with Target Logistics for housing military members. And you know, the Olympics is one. Do you remember his catchphrase?
No.
Big sign over his desk. It's the food, stupid. And he was right. If you ever ate at a Target Logistics facility out in the oil patch back in the day, it was about the food. I mean, you talk about workforce housing, and Target Logistics did it right. It was about the food. It was about the, you know, you're out working so much, so hard that when you're off, you shouldn't have to worry about anything. Get a meal, get showered. Somebody else will get your stuff cleaned up. You know, the laundry services, everything that went into those facilities, so that when you were off, you were off. And because when you were on, you were on. And then it was about how do you mitigate windshield time. That was some of the biggest focus of Brian. But it was all about, it's the food, stupid. I will always remember that sign that he had over his desk. Because he was right, and he meant it. It was, how do you take care of your employees or folks working out in the oil patch? Just like with the military, just like with the Olympians, that was the moniker of the entire company. It was about the food, about the lodging, about how do you take every other stress off of an employee, an athlete, a soldier when they're off duty. Remove it all, so when they're off, they're off.
And he was also he was also big into the safety aspect, and
absolutely
that's where the military part came in. And so I wanted to bring up that because there's a lot of connection with the oil and gas and military, and of course, you know, Duane Ferris, BK9 Pipe Inspections, is a veteran. And Duane, talk to us a little bit, not only about that military connection, but I did want to transition it because through some of the workforce housing and some of the, even I think rigs and a number of different things, you've been able to expand your business not only from the pipeline sniffing, but into narcotics detection. Are you doing firearm detection? Is that a thing? But I know dogs do that. So what other areas were you able to channel that, canine detection into that oil and gas opened the doors for, so to speak?
Yeah, for sure. Originally we started out just doing the leak detection, but there was a need for expedient and proficient and reliable detection for the stuff that you're not supposed to have on a job site. So narcotics and firearms. So we do implement those services and we provide those services to the operators there that are looking to maybe do a little bit quicker, efficient, and safer type of searches for stuff that, not supposed to be on the job site. So we do that. I do have to comment about the, on the veteran side too. Even though we show up and we do a job for, let's say, the leak detection, it's kind of like a speed date. We're out there. We've got a few days to get this job done. We build a rapport, and I've actually gained some really good friendships and relationships outside of the work. And a lot of it is with veterans that were out there on the job sites. It's amazing that relationship with veterans, no matter the time, branch of service, or where you were boots on the ground, even though we're there to find stuff like narcotics and firearms that you're not supposed to be. And unfortunately, it can end somebody's career at that time. The relationships still come out because they understand that we're there to provide a service. It's nothing personal. We're just trying to keep things safe as we can, so that way they can perform in a safe working environment and keep doing the job that they're doing. But I've even been reached out after the fact of saying, hey, this dog stuff, this training stuff, what is this all about? I might be looking for something. So me personally, I've always just kept an open door. So if anybody wants more information, or maybe they're looking for a career switch, or they want to start dabbling into like the canine aspect, the terminology canine is just so vast. There's so many things that you can pick and choose. And even if it doesn't turn into a professional business where that's your livelihood of doing it, but maybe it's a sport detection, you want to train your dog to be a little bit more active looking for stuff. You want to work on some obedience. You would like to get in saying, hey, I just want to know, am I doing right by my dog? But I'm seeing these issues and we're not clicking, so feel free to always reach out to me and I'll help them out as best as I can. So hopefully that clears that up for you.
Dwayne, when I'm thinking about from a career perspective or a working perspective, getting in the leak detection, and I obviously go right to military because I think, military already trained. A lot of folks do a lot of great work. But you bring up a great point about the other side of that. Let's back up a little bit and talk about just, maybe somebody doesn't have a working dog. They just have a dog. A lot of it comes back down to, what are the basic obedience? What are the basic skills that you need to have? And like I mentioned earlier is, certain breeds have certain jobs. They're just wired. They have to have a job. And you have to understand the breed that you have from a dog ownership perspective, because you have to provide, if not that specific job for them. So like, say you have a working dog that is a herding dog, which they herd things, but you have to have some replacement for them, because you're going to have a bad outcome if you don't have a dog, whether it's a pet or a functioning working animal. If you don't give them that task to do, they need to be kept busy. They have to have something to do.
Right. Yeah, no, 100%. I think it doesn't matter if a professional level, family level, just dog, basic responsible dog ownership starts with some research. Look into what this dog was specifically bred for and what to do, because that will help you on the journey of why he or she does something or doesn't do something. And then there's a plethora of information out there to help guide dog owners out there to do the right thing when it becomes to behavior issues with owning dogs. You don't have to have, you know, these high breed protection type of dogs just to do something good by these dogs out there.
All right, Dwayne. So you've got the, let's talk about the oil and gas and the energy and some of the industrial, if you will, when it comes to some of the services. And then after the news break, I want to talk about some of the new services you're offering out there in terms of residential training and et cetera, because you're expanding even more now. That's what happens, folks, when some people look, you know, left, Dwayne goes right. So that's how life goes. Dwayne, what's your overall services when it comes to oil and gas and et cetera and in industry and that sort of thing? Do we leave anything out or anything you're trying to get into, I guess, in 2024?
Right. Yeah. So obviously our forte to the industry for oil and natural gas is going to be detection. Within detection, we've got the leak detection, right? For anything and everything you guys are that are being transported in there on reactionary and proactive services. Then we do the narcotics and we do firearm searches too for the workplace. And those workplaces, you know, in the industry, everything ranges from drilling rigs to man camps to workover rigs to office space, you name it. Those are the services that we do provide for the oil and gas industry there. And on the flip side, within just working dogs, just training dogs on it, we are starting to ramp up our dog training, our pet dog training services to individuals out there. So we just see a need, and it's a passion of mine to educate owners to start on the right footstep with dogs and help them live a more, you know, cohesive relationship-based type of lifestyle with these great animals out there. They serve a purpose, and we just need to find that purpose that's going to be good for the dog and the owners at that time. So just really a sense of promoting some really responsible ownership on there. So that's a new venture. I was actually doing some revamping on my my vehicle out there. It's a driving billboard, big old Sprinter van, and it's amazing that I get a lot of thumbs up, and I get people, if I'm filling up by gas, it doesn't matter if it's in Texas or another state, they pull up and they're like, oh, we've seen this on like social media or this and that. We didn't know if it was real. And they're like, oh, it's so cool. But yeah, get ready for some new advertisement type of decals on my van. That's going to promote not just the leak detection and detection service for oil and gas, but just the whole dog training aspect industry. So we're super stoked for that going into 2024.
Very encompassing, a lot to talk about, a lot of different aspects when you're talking canines, whether it's a pet, whether it's a working dog, whether it's working in the oil and gas industry, leak detection pipelines, narcotics, you know, the law enforcement side of things, the military application, a lot to talk about. Dwayne, how do people get a hold of you?
The easiest here, you can give me a holler at 817-771-0008 and simple keyword search of BC Canine Services. Find me on the interweb there, and yeah, just feel free to reach out just to shoot some problems or questions or guidance or anything else. So I really do. I try to be an open book and help people. So dogs are a passion, and it's a lifestyle for me. So just really grateful about that.
Thank you, Dwayne Ferris, BK Canine Services. This is Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition. The Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
SuperDoc 1270. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life on this Wattage Wednesday. And we're going to shift gears a little bit on this last segment with Dwayne Ferris from BK Canine Services. Because I want to talk about, you know, if you're not in oil and gas, if you're not, you know, on this Wattage Wednesday, if you're not into the energy sector or some of these other spaces, you know, a lot of people out there have dogs. And starting from a puppy, moving on, and by the way, you can teach an old dog new tricks, but there's an approach that has to take place. And for me, it always starts with basic obedience, and you need to get that part down before you can have any semblance of a rock star dog in any capacity. Dwayne, what are some of the tips or tricks of the trade, some of the information that you'd like to get out there to listeners that, you know, maybe they're not in the service industry, that maybe they just have a great pet, but they'd like to do a little work with it. Maybe they got a new puppy, but they'd like to work with that dog and make sure, you know, for me, like I said, it starts with the basic obedience. That's where you get the foundation laid. How do you start with that basic obedience? And then we'll get into where you go from there.
Yeah, definitely some basic obedience is a foundational stuff, but I like to take it a little bit further, deeper on that. It starts with a really harmonious relationship with the dog. So when the dog and you are in tune and they can feel the good vibes and you're feeling it from the dogs, you're going to get a dog that wants to work. They want to do something. And when I say work, I'm not talking about like professional work. I'm just saying, hey, they want to be with the humans and hang out and just have a good old time. So when I look at the dogs, because obviously they contact me because they have an issue and it's undesirable behavior and they just don't know how to fix it, or unbeknownst to them, the behavior's gotten worse, right? Over days, weeks, you know, sometimes years. But the beauty about it is being able to sit down and really dissect and be that detective and try to find out what that root cause or trigger, what's causing this dog to do what it is you don't want them to do. And that's kind of the art and the skill that comes in working with dog owners out there. So my suggestion to people is really do your research, find some really good qualified trainers out there, really look to see what their history is. Do they have a good relationship with their clients? Do they maintain those relationships with those clients? Because you're going to want to work with people that you get along with and you have a really good working relationship. And when you have that, then the consequences are going to be really awesome for you and your dog. So I always tell people having a dog is, it's not a sprint, it's a journey, and it's a lifelong journey. So if more and more people kind of understand that, just my opinion, that it's a journey, take your time, be patient, and the sky's the limit on what you can push your dog to do. So hopefully that kind of clears up some things.
Well, I have a question for you, and it has to do with the 9-to-5 job and dog owners, mm-hmm. because that's a very difficult, controversial type of a topic. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it's pretty cut and dry. I have a dog that's, you know, part Vizsla, and enough Vizsla where she needs 40 miles a day running. And that really does mm-hmm. change my day. I have to actually start with my dog's needs because it's a very high energy dog. And that's a daily routine for me. And so a lot of my daily decisions are based on my dog. This is obviously some self-reflection I've been having over the holidays here. But with that being said, you know, it's a real deal. All of a sudden, we go from remote working to back at the office. So this dog that's used to, you know, having the owner home, having the walks being done hourly, whatever the case is, there's a major change in routine. How does somebody deal with that? How do they bridge that gap? You know, I mean, are there even employers that are open to bringing a dog to work anymore or anything? I don't know. I feel bad for the situation.
Well, for sure. I think, you know, yeah, during, you know, years past, everybody was able to get the pup. And I think the epiphanies really didn't start happening until they had to go back to the office. And now they're left with this living animal at home, and they were able to be supervised 100%, right? Around the clock and take it for walks and fed here and do this, don't do that. And it was grooving and it's moving. But now you're absent and you've left the dog to basically do what it wants to do. And in my opinion and experience, a dog's going to do what it wants to do to make itself feel better majority of the times. And unfortunately, what a dog does to make itself feel better is usually something the owners don't want to come home to, right? Trash, furniture, clothes torn up, accidents in the house. Yeah. Right. Destructive. And I think it's just a misinterpretation of why the dog is doing it for that piece for the dog owners. And a huge thing on it is the education on it. There are some very easy steps to take, right? To have in preparation for when you do have to leave the dog at home for 8-10 hours with that, seeking that kind of guidance and that advice. Most dog owners are very open-minded to take these small adjustments in there. And if they can understand and keep close to their heart to understand that it's a journey and it's not a sprint. So you've taken this dog, you might have this dog for a year to 2 years, and now you're back to the office and you come home to these situations and, chaos and destructive behavior by a dog. Unfortunately, that's not going to be fixed right overnight. There might be something that we can tweak and change in the daily routine up to it that will help. But that's where the patience and the persistence and consistency is going to come into with the dog owners on there. So
I was just going to ask, what's the first 30 days look like for someone who goes to the Humane Society or whatever the shelter might be?
Right.
I'm not a big Humane Society fan anymore ever since they got political. I like dog shelters that stay out of politics.
Right.
But they've done a great job of branding over the last 30 years. Edit out. Okay. So if someone gets a dog, whether it be from a breeder or maybe it's from a secondhand or something like that, or they adopt one, what's the first 30 days look like? Because they might have some training that's kind of, gone wonky, but in some cases they really don't know what they're getting from a breeder. So, that type of thing. What, just give us a, kind of an overview of the first 30 days of what someone should do.
Wow, that's kind of a loaded question. Thanks, Jason. Because
Steve, we can't escape politics, can we?
Nope. Well, thanks a lot, Jason.
Loaded in the sense because true. Where you get your dog from, right? What's the history? What's the report card? And in my opinion, 9 times out of 10, you don't have that information when you do go, let's say, rescue a dog or adopt a dog. You may have loadable breeder, but even on backyard breeding and breeders out there, there's so much more that comes into it that really isn't divulged to the owners, right? So the first 30 days, obviously a relationship, a routine, a timeline, a lot of good reinforcement, but also setting boundaries for these dogs. Not to get too much into the weeds with it, but they are dogs and they are animals. They, if left to their own devices, they will find something to do that's going to make them feel better. And like I said earlier, it's usually going to result in some kind of destructive behavior. But with that 30 days should be a routine, some exercise, the health and welfare of the dog, the scheduling part with it, and just understanding you have now came home with an animal in hopes of integrating it into a family environment or a relationship with the person. You've got to have a plan. And if you don't have a plan that's progressive day to day, week to week, and month to month, you're going to set yourself up for a lot of heartache and a lot of frustration. And unfortunately, I think that's taken out on the dog. So get a dog, do the research, find a dog trainer, find a mentor, find something that you can help for guidance on doing the part. I've been doing this for about 24 years. I don't know it all. And I still reach out to my mentors and others that I view and hold high to give me advice on particular situations or behaviors I'm not sure how to do, or this dog's doing this. Because I just don't think that everybody can know everything about it, because they are just a unique living organism, you know, here just to bring some really good feelings and emotions and work for us. So,
Dwayne, we're coming up against a break, but you know, I want to go back to that research part that you mentioned, and I'm a dog breeder. I breed my hunting dogs, my Gordon setters, you know, I've turned down people that have approached me about acquiring a dog.
100%, man.
Because as a breeder, I have a responsibility to make sure that it's a good fit. So I find a good home for that. First and foremost, make sure it's a good fit for the good home. But that research that goes into it, you need to know what your lifestyle is. Yes. If you're somebody who's extremely active, then you can have an active breed. If you're somebody who their downtime is sitting on the couch watching TV, you need to find a breed that fits that. If you're somebody that likes to go out for a walk every day after work, then there's breeds that fit that. You work on a farm or a ranch and you want that companion, or a hunting dog, or, you know, you have to do that research and make sure that your lifestyle and what that breed is, because every breed is a little different, that lifestyle, that breed, that fits. And like I said, I've said no to prospective buyers for my dogs because I knew their lifestyle, and I do my diligence as well with a prospective buyer for my dogs, because I need to know a little background on your history. Does your lifestyle fit with what my breed of dog that I provide is? Talk All a little right. bit about that real quick.
Yeah, well, for sure. Research is, in my opinion, the number one thing that you do prior to even getting and purchasing a dog. Look them up, see what this particular breed or breeds that you're interested in, are they going to fit into what your day-to-day job and responsibility is? Are you, you know, by yourself? Do you have a family? Do you have a work that takes you out of town for extended amount of times? What are you going to do with the dog when you're not there? Asking just some really good questions to where it is you're getting the dog from. If you're getting from a breeder, then yeah, 9 times out of 10, some really good quality breeders, they're going to do the vetting themselves also. So kind of a back and forth vetting process with it. But if you're going to, you know, depending on where you get the dog from, if you're getting from a rescue or animal shelter, really due diligence as best you can, because I think that not only is it in hopes of protecting and giving a quality life to this animal, to this dog, but it's got to be reciprocal, right? It's got to be also to the new dog owner as well, because if you're not able to do it, then 9 times out of 10 is going to be taken out onto the dog. And then, you know, hey, not sure what's going to happen with that. You know, dog gets owned or abandoned or rehomed. And you just see a lot of that going around with it. And just, man, just do a really honest self-assessment and gut check. If this is the right time, do you have the investment as far as energy and time to do this and try to do right by the dog and yourself? Because if not, it's just going to have conflict. And depending even the type of dog you do get, sure, a breed might be a hunting dog. It might be a dog that uses a vocal. They're more vocal than other dogs. There are training methodologies that can be introduced and done with dogs to make them not as active and kind of chill and mellow. But at the same time, you got to really ask if that's going to be the right training methodology on, let's say, a Belgian Malinois, right? Or a German short hair pointer or something, right? So those dogs were bred for a purpose. And if you're going to try to, I guess, suppress some of the natural behavior, that's when you're going to run into some conflict. So does that help? Yeah.
Absolutely. Dwayne, thank you very much for some time. Once again, if somebody wants to get a hold of you or has any questions, whether it's for the services provided or just some dog training tips and tricks, how do they get a hold of BK Canine Services?
Yeah, you can holler at us on the internet at BC Canine Services, Dwayne Ferris. My phone number is 817-771-0008, and we're located here in North Texas.
Dwayne Ferris, thanks for joining us today. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies. You can get Jason at The Crude Life each and every Sunday morning right here on Super Talk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition. The Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.